Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother," the angel said. "Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." That night Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I called my son out of Egypt." Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A cry was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. "Get up," the angel said. "Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead." So Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then, after being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled what the prophets had said, "He will be called a Nazarene." Verses 13 through 23, Matthew chapter 2. Then looking in the book of Exodus chapter 1, picking up at verse 15. Then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Shipra and Puah. "When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it is a girl, let her live." But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. They allowed the boys to live too. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives. "Why have you done this?" he demanded. "Why have you allowed the boys to live?" "The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women," the midwives replied. "They are more vigorous and have their babies so quickly that we cannot get there in time." So God was good to the midwives, and the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all the people: "Throw every newborn Hebrew boy into the Nile River, but you may let the girls live." Verses 15 to 22, Exodus chapter 1. And then Exodus chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. About this time, a man and woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby's sister then stood at a distance, watching to see what would happen to him. Soon Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked along the river bank. When the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it for her. When the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This must be one of the Hebrew children," she said. Then the baby's sister approached the princess. "Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" she asked. "Yes, do," the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. "Take this baby and nurse him for me," the princess told the baby's mother. I will pay you for your help. So the woman took the baby home and nursed him. Later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, I lifted him out of the water. Verses 1 through 10, Exodus chapter 2. Father, thank you once again for the wonderful and the precious and the blessed gift of your word. Thank you for the opportunity for us to read and meditate on your word and thus spend time with you as you speak words of wisdom, guidance, and grace so that we'll grow more like you and draw closer to you and so that we'll better more and more understand your heart and your perspective and your mind. Lord, help us to grow in our understanding of the fact that every life is precious. Every life is a gift from you, and every life is a gift to the world. And help us to know, Lord, that you have called us as the church to stand boldly for life. Help us to be faithful to do that, and help us to proclaim the message of the gospel and the message of life to a world that desperately needs to hear it. Help us to do this faithfully and in all the ways you'd have us to do that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. Isaac is going to lead us in a word of prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I just want to ask that you'd help us to trust you. Father, I ask that you'd grow our faith, they'd grow our belief in your ways and your word. Father, I know that when the disciples and the rich young ruler were with Jesus, the rich young ruler went away sad because he couldn't fulfill the last commandment that Jesus gave him. Jesus ends up telling the disciples that in man, it's impossible for us to fulfill all of your commandments, but in you, anything is possible. So Father, I ask that you'd strengthen us to both love your ways and to follow them. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family here on the Hour of Intercession. We're honored to have once again Brother Charlie Wysong. Brother Charlie is a great servant of the Lord doing many kingdom things for the kingdom of God. And Brother Charlie has been on with us sharing about a unique Ten Commandments project where he's sharing Ten Commandments signs, yard signs that people can place in their yards as a wonderful witness. And he's inviting people to help him get to help him with his kingdom project to get at least a million yard signs put out. So he's going to share with us about the project further. Brother Charlie, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Brother Joseph, and I just really appreciate being on with you again. Thank you.
Always good to have you. And would you tell our listeners once again a little bit more about the Ten Commandments Yard Sign Project, how they can get a yard sign for their own yard, and what you're wanting to challenge them to do?
All right. What I want to do is I want to get a million Ten Commandment yard signs out before the election and out all across America. And a man heard this on the radio, on your program, and he was lived up in Ohio, and he just on his own said he was going to help. He says, I'm going to help Charlie do this. And I thought this was so nice. And so he just called me yesterday, and he said, I want to order 50 yard signs from you. Mm. And so he took it back to his church, and they went ahead, and they've done 50 yard signs there. And that's just wonderful. So I was greatly encouraged by that. But I know this can be done all over the country. Let me just do this. Let me give our website, and let me give my phone number as well, which is on the website. But the website is 10laws.us. It's just TENLAWS. But that has my phone number on there. But if not, you could do 423-314-0183. And what I'm trying to do, Brother Joseph, is do it county by county. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to do it all. I don't want to do a national program. I want to do a county by county program, and where the people in that county can get the Ten Commandments in their county. And so I want to put one yard sign for every Our population is 340 million people. So that's one yard sign for every 340 people. And so, like our county right here in Tennessee, Hamilton County, which is Chattanooga, that's about 1,100 yard signs. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're working for. We're working for 1,100 yard signs to get them out in our county. And so we're active doing that, and we've seen great results, just great results.
Share the website one more time for people that want to get a yard sign or want to learn more about the project.
All right, it's 10laws.us. And really, you can put either the number in there or spell it out, 10, T-E-N.
All right.
10laws.us.
And we're encouraging every single listener to prayerfully consider both getting a yard sign and prayerfully considering whether or not the Lord could use you to help encourage people in your community and your county to get them as well. Obviously, encouraging people in your church as well, and talking to your pastor about it as well. But we want to encourage every single listener. Get involved. The yard sign is a wonderful, beautiful item to place in your yard, and it's a wonderful witness for your community. You know, lots of people are used to seeing political signs in their yards, but to be honest, lots of people have never seen a yard sign with the Ten Commandments on it. What a wonderful witness and a tool to point them to the Word of God and the will of God as well. So one more time, that yard sign, Brother Charlie, the website, please.
It's 10laws.us. Oh. And really, Brother Joseph, it is a way of declaring our allegiance to God. It's declaring our love for God. And we have time before the break to tell a quick story.
Yes, go ahead.
I got a text message this morning that a lady up in Pennsylvania had a yard, Ten Commandments yard sign out in her yard, and she had a bunch of junk that she was throwing away. And the junk man said, "Is that Ten Commandment yard sign? Is that part of the junk?" And they said, "Oh, no, that's not part of the junk." And he said something about he wanted to get one. And she said, "Well, you can buy one." And she told him how to get it. And he said, "Well, I haven't had a very good month." And he said, I couldn't buy it. She said, "Well, I tell you what, if you will promise to take this one and put it in your yard," she said, "you can have this one." Mm. And he turned around, he's walking down the driveway, and she looked back, and he was lifting his hand up saying, "Praise Jesus, praise Jesus.
Praise God."
Now, that's wonderful that somebody would be so grateful for God's law. And, you know, he says in Psalm 119, verse 97, he says, "Oh, how love have thy law. It is my meditation all the day." So,
beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that, Brother Charlie. Father, thank you for every person listening now, and thank you for the opportunity we each have of being witnesses in all the ways you'd have us to be. Father, I pray that you move upon the heart of every listener to do any and all you'd have them to do to be involved with this project and help spread your word and help get more yard signs out. I pray that every single listener would prayerfully consider both ordering a sign as well as maybe ordering one to give to someone else as well. Help us to get involved in all the ways you'd have us to. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Brother Charlie, would you pray for the listeners as well? Our time, we're about to run into a break, but would you just briefly pray for the listeners as well?
Sure. Father, we all need your help. We all need your presence in our life. And Father, I just pray at this time that you would mightily move in our lives, that we would draw close to you. And Father, you're going to draw close to us when we do that. And I just ask your blessings upon this nation and these people listening to us now. Amen.
Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Face a million different ways I gotta trust, but there's only one decision, how to live, how to love, Jesus, because you are God and you're the God of my choices. Speak to me and I will run to your voice. Here I am in the noise, won't you lead me in my choices, my choices. I believe that faith is nothing if it isn't everything. Every heartbeat, every moment, whatever this day brings, this song I will sing. You are God and you're the God of my choices. Speak to me and I will run to your voice. Here I am in the noise, won't you lead me in my choices, my choices.
Music of J.J. Weeks with Choices. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. For the balance of the broadcast, we're looking at the topic, God calls the church to stand boldly for life. I'd like to remind our listeners also, too, that I have the privilege of writing a book entitled A Pastor's Notes, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life. And it's a book that helps to better equip you to be the pro-life warrior, a pro-life warrior that's doing the work of boldly standing for life. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email me at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. And just a reminder, too, when you purchase this book by emailing me, the book is $10 plus shipping, which $12 would cover that. But emailing me, that would allow you to also help support our pregnancy ministry, the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center ministry. So you'd be getting a tool to help better equip you to be a pro-life warrior, but also a tool that would be supporting the work of a pregnancy ministry that serves precious women, precious moms in the Mississippi Delta. So again, my email, joseph@afr.net. Again, we're looking today at the topic, God calls the church to stand boldly for life, and I'll be sharing some articles that I've had the opportunity to write that are found on the AFA stand. But again, articles that are also tools to help better equip you to be a strong and bold pro-life warrior. This first one is entitled, The Bible, Life, and Abortion. Again, the title, The Bible, Life, and Abortion. What exactly does the Bible say about life, standing for life, and the abortion issue? Does it say anything about these issues, or is it silent? Does it tell us anything about God's perspective and thinking about life and the taking of the life of innocent children? Actually, the Word of God has a lot to say about these issues. Do you want to know God's will and thoughts on these matters? Just look in His book. One definition of abortion is the deliberate murder of a child in the womb of its mother. Another definition is the taking of the life of an innocent baby. The following are passages from the Word of God that give us God's counsel, His thoughts, and His will concerning life, abortion, and the matter of the taking of innocent life. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying His voice, and holding fast to Him. For He is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. Then in Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, you shall not murder. Then Proverbs chapter 24, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? Again, Proverbs chapter 24, verses 11 and 12. Then Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. Again, Proverbs 31, 8 and 9. Then in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31, you shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abominable thing that the Lord hates, they have done for their gods, for they even burn their sons and their daughters in the fire to their gods. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31. Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 20 and 21. And you took your sons and your daughters, whom you had borne to me, and these you sacrificed to them to be devoured. Were your whoring so small a matter that you slaughtered my children and delivered them up as an offering by fire to them? Ezekiel 16, verses 20 and 21. Then Psalm 106, verses 37 through 38. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons. They poured out innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Again, Psalm 106, verses 37 and 38. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 35. They built the high places of Baal in the valley of the son of Hinnom to offer up their sons and daughters to Molech, though I did not command them, nor did it enter into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Again, Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 35. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. In Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 to 22, and Matthew chapter 2, verses 16 to 18, God's word tells us of two governmental leaders, two kings, who for sad, cruel, and selfish reasons gave orders to slaughter innocent little boys. By their power and authority, their orders were carried out. Tragically, we still have governmental leaders who continue to approve of killing innocent babies in the womb. This is not an exhaustive listing of the scriptures that speak to the issue of life, standing up for life, and standing against abortion. These are just a few, but they're enough to help you to see what God clearly thinks about the issues concerning life. What should be our response to the insights God's word gives us of his will, his perspective, and his thoughts on these issues? A wise and correct response on the part of believers and the church is that we would get passionately involved in aggressively standing for life. What can believers do to walk out a passion and commitment to the cause of life? Here are a few ways to get involved. Number one, find your local pregnancy center and volunteer your time to help in their ministry. Give financially to one or more local pregnancy centers. Prayerfully consider giving monthly to support them. Pray for the ministry of pregnancy centers. And also, inquire about the possibility of your church putting the local pregnancy center into its budget. Number two, take the time and effort to research and learn about active pro-life ministries that are doing significant work to stand for life and to save babies and to help end legalized abortion. And number three, educate yourself about every facet of the issue surrounding life and abortion. Sadly, there's a lot of ignorance, apathy, and misinformation about the life issue and about abortion. Great is the need for the church to become educated spiritually and otherwise about this issue and related issues. We're encouraging you to get involved. Your help is greatly needed in this battle, and every day counts. Can God count on you? Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for us as the church to get involved in the powerful and the important work of standing boldly for life and helping to end the tragedy of abortion. Lord, help us to recognize that we as the church and as a nation, we have a lot of blood on our hands. We've slaughtered so many innocent children in the past. Father, we confess we've sinned tremendously through allowing babies to be slaughtered in the past. Father, we repent of this wrong. Forgive us, Lord, Stir us as the church to be and do what you would have us to do. Help us to be your hands and feet in addressing this issue in all the ways you'd have us to. Thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And at this time, I'm going to ask Brother Charlie, who's still with us, if you would just say a word of a prayer for the church to get more involved as well.
Yes. Father, we have sinned in that we have not exercised ourselves to end the slaughter of little babies. And Father, you said you wouldn't forget that. And Father, I just ask you that you might be merciful to us. And Father, I pray those that have been zealous, I pray your blessings upon them. They've endured indifference by the church. They've endured ridicule by those that are for abortion. And Father, I just ask you that you would change the way we think about abortion, that we would see these are little babies that you have brought into this world for your purpose. And Father, certainly your purpose was not that they die in the womb. And Father, now I pray you'd move mightily, and I pray you would cleanse our land of the blood that's been shed. 70 million plus little babies. And Father, we ask this now in Jesus' holy name. Cause us to repent. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Father, thank you for us as the church. Thank you for us as a nation. Help us as the church and as a nation to put you first. Help us, Lord, to not make any graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. This next article is entitled Sex Trafficking and the Abortion Industry, Evil Twins. Again, that title, Sex Trafficking and the Abortion Industry, Evil Twins. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The following are testimonials of women who tragically were caught in the sex trafficking industry, but by the grace of God were rescued out. But these are their true-to-life testimonies. Number one, when my trafficker found out that any of his quote-unquote girls were pregnant, he would take us outside and beat us with a pipe around our stomachs and abdomen until we miscarried. This happened to me 4 times. I never carried a pregnancy to term. So testimony number two. I was trafficked when I was 13 and got pregnant 6 times. I was always taken to a clinic by my trafficker and forced to have an abortion. The third testimony. Before he started trafficking me, my trafficker took me to a clinic. He pretended to be my uncle and had the doctor administer Depo-Provera to me. I got intermittent Depo-Provera shots from the time I was 13 throughout the time I was trafficked until I was 23. Fourth testimony, my trafficker advertised me as someone who would not be using a condom, and so after a weekend of being sold at upscale hotels, he would force me to take Plan B. I had Plan B so many times that I had gynecological problems for 5 years after I got out. Then a fifth testimony. I was trafficked when I was a child. I had so many abortions and was back out on quote unquote on the track again right afterward and had so many untreated infections that I developed scar tissue, PID, and ultimately had to have a hysterectomy. The pain of not being able to have a child now that I'm happily married is too great to describe in words. What you've just read, again, are real accounts of women who survived sex trafficking yet experienced forced abortions by their captors. Sadly, this happens too often right here in America as well as in other nations. Modern-day sex slavery is what sex trafficking is, amongst other things. It's evil, wicked, and devastating in so many ways for the victims. Yet sadly, the tragic and very wicked industry of abortion is an evil twin to sex trafficking. The abortion industry works hand in glove with sex trafficking as one aids and abets the other. two tragic industries. Many are the victims of both hideous and dark industries. It's so critical that we, the Church of Jesus Christ, recognize and passionately mobilize to get aggressively, to aggressively work to end both tragic industries. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 10, verse 10, we're told, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." These two wicked industries represent the epitome of what the devil seeks to do to all human beings on this planet. It's true that he seeks to steal from, kill, and destroy all people. The Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to these and all other of the ills in our world. We, the church, are the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. We're called to pray diligently and passionately for the ending of the work of both of these dark industries. However, it's important that we understand that we pray and then we get up and do what we're called by God to do to help end these tragic works of darkness. Where does the church start? A great starting place? We'll pick up there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, and this article is entitled "Sex Trafficking and the Abortion Industry, Evil Twins." We'll be right back. Music of Elevation Worship with O Sing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, God calls the church to stand boldly for life, and we were sharing from an article entitled "Sex Trafficking and the Abortion Industry, Evil Twins," picking up in the midst of that article once again. The two industries, sex trafficking and abortion, represent the epitome of what the devil seeks to do to all human beings on this planet. It's true that the devil seeks to steal from, kill, and destroy all people. The Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to these and all of the other ills in our world. And we, the church, are the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. We're called to pray diligently and passionately for the ending of the work of both of these dark and wicked industries. However, it's important to know that we understand that we pray, and then we get up and do what we're called to do to help in these tragic works of darkness. Where does the church start? A great starting place is educating yourself and your church family about these works of darkness. Research and find out about ministries that are on the front lines coming against these dark industries as well. Look at the websites of Christian ministries that are working faithfully to combat sex trafficking. Typically, they're well prepared to help educate believers about the dark organizations that are involved with sex trafficking, and pray that these ministries and pray for these ministries and give to them financially to help them carry out their vital mission. Help to sponsor Bible studies or workshops or events that can serve to educate the church further about this issue and that help people learn how they can get involved. Find out ways to help extend the educational reach of these ministries. Also learn more, much more, about the ministry of what the ministry and the ministries that stand for life are about. There are many great ministries out there that are doing great work to help the cause of life. Pregnancy help centers are ministries that provide free help to women who find themselves expecting a child at a difficult time in their lives. Praying for pregnancy centers and giving financially to help them carry out their mission are two great ways believers can get involved. Volunteer your time and or help to give baby items such as diapers, baby bottles, baby clothes, etc. to clinics. You can pray for women who go to abortion clinics and end up changing their minds and keep their babies. Many people would be surprised at the large number of women who go to abortion clinics to get abortions, but by the grace of God, change their minds and decide not to abort. Many times, this is a result that somebody somewhere is praying. This is the result of the people of God praying behind the scenes. Believers can volunteer and be trained to be sidewalk advocates who work outside of abortion clinics. The Lord uses people who stand and pray, share pro-life brochures, and who are simply there to help women to choose to keep their babies instead of aborting them. They also very often help women see that choosing to place their baby up for adoption is a very good, noble, and fruitful option instead of abortion. There are also many other great ministries that help to address many sides of the pro-life cause. Prayerfully decide to get involved where the Lord wants you to get involved. And whatever you do, don't stand on the sidelines. There's too much work to be done for any of us to do that. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, there are three persons who represent the church. They are the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan. Read Luke 10, verses 25 to 37. In the parable, a traveler has been attacked, beaten up, robbed, and left severely wounded on the side of the road. The priest comes along, sees the wounded man, and passes by on the other side. The Levite, too, comes along and sees the same wounded individual, and he, too, passes by on the other side. Yet the Samaritan comes along and sees the wounded man and reacts very differently from the other two. He stops, seeks to nurse the man and his injuries, helps him to a place where he can receive further help and attention. He also spends money, energy, and time to help see after this man's needs. The Lord Jesus very specifically told the lawyer and all the rest of us in the church to go and do not as the priest did, or the Levite, Christ told us to do as the Samaritan did. He told us to sacrificially love our brothers and sisters in need. Brothers and sisters, let us love the Lord enough to do what he says. Again, the title of that article, Sex Trafficking and the Abortion Industry, Evil Twins. Brother Charlie, would you pray for the church to really seek to do God's heart in addressing these tragic industries out in the world?
Amen. Father, your people are supposed to have your heart. They're supposed to have your compassion, your love, and Father, and your hatred of evil. And Father, I just pray that you would cause your people to rise up and to begin to oppose abortion, begin to help those victims of abortion, and Father, and help those babies that they would not be aborted. And Father, we just ask for the mighty move of your Spirit that put upon us the seriousness of what's going on. And though we don't see it, may it still be in our heart. May we have an understanding. May you give us spiritual eyes to see the wickedness of spilling innocent blood. And Father, I pray we would repent and begin to do those works which would bring this Holocaust that we have in our land to an end. And we pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Father, to thank you for the church and thank you for the opportunity for us to really seek to represent you well in the way we love those around us. We live in a world where so many have been beat up and left on the side of the road for dead. Help us, Lord, to be a church that is in so many ways seeking revival. Help us to realize that much revival can happen as we simply do what you told us to do. As we simply love our people, your Spirit will rise up bigger and bigger in us, and that we can see ourselves by your grace in many ways, obeying our way into revival, obeying our way by loving your people. Stir us more and more to be the church you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, the final article we're going to share on the broadcast is entitled, Is Your Church a House of refuge. And of course, the term house of refuge is a particular way in which a church can equip itself to help address the life issue. Again, the title of the article, Is Your Church a House of Refuge? In our nation, the landscape of the battlefield for life has changed, yet the battle continues to rage. State legislatures are passing laws, some to take steps to support life and others to further promote abortion. Tragically, most abortions in our nation today are chemical abortions. And sadly, this kind of abortion can be hidden, done in secret. And yes, this kind of abortion can be obtained and has been obtained in all 50 states, even after the overturning of Roe v. Wade. It's critical that the church recognize that our battle is genuinely a spiritual one being fought in the heavens. The church is genuinely the most powerful institution in the world. And it's simply vital that we come to realize that we come to realize who we are and what we're called to do. What are we called to do? We are called to love. We're called to love people by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And we're called to love people by being the hands and feet of Jesus in a world full of troubled, weary, and lost people. One important group of people that the church must come alongside is mothers who find themselves expecting a child at a tough time in their lives. What can the church do to passionately show these mothers the love of Jesus in a faithful and genuine way? Well, one thing the church can do is a local church can become what's known as a house of refuge. The national ministry, Love Life, is helping local churches across our nation to get involved with Standing for Life by helping them to become houses of refuge. A house of refuge church is a local church that does the following things. This church reads the House of Refuge statement at least twice a year from the pulpit, and this church posts the statement publicly on their website and or their lobby. This church has selected a representative from their congregation, and Love Life has trained that rep to equip their church family to be a house of refuge. The following is the House of Refuge statement that local church is to read. This is the statement. Our church is a house of refuge. This applies to everyone in this church or people you know that need a place of refuge. Here's what we as a local church believe. If you find yourself in an unplanned pregnancy, please know that being pregnant is not a sin, and the child you carry is not a punishment. This child is a blessing. God is knitting this child in your womb. You may have made a sinful decision that led to this pregnancy, or you may have even been sinned against, but we want you to know that you are loved, and we will do whatever it takes to help you carry and care for this precious child before and after the baby's born. We can never support or encourage a woman to have an abortion because the child you carry is made in the image of God and is innately valuable and loved by God. You need to know how we will respond. Here's what we won't do. This church family will not tolerate gossip about you, shame you, or abandon you. This is a house of refuge, and we will not allow the family of God to harm one another with words or actions contrary to the love of God as revealed in the Word. Here's what we will do. We will do everything in our power to remove whatever obstacles stand in the way of you having this baby. There are people in this church ready to mentor you, throw you a baby shower, and connect you to resources inside and outside of our church, a local pregnancy care center as well. We'll also hold men accountable for living out their calling to provide and protect women and children. Finally, if you have ever had an abortion in your past, we want you to know that abortion is not an unforgivable sin. Whoever confesses and forsakes their sin finds mercy. If you've never gone through a post-abortive Bible study, we will be happy to connect you with one so that you can walk in complete healing and freedom. That's the House of Refuge statement. If your church desires to become a house of refuge, it's not hard to go through the process. And the reason to do it is because it helps the church in one more powerful and effective and important way to further love precious women who find themselves expecting during a tough time and to further be the hands and feet of Jesus in a tough world. For more information, go to lovelife.org to find out how to become a house of refuge. Again, the title of that article is Your Church a House of Refuge? And we're encouraging every believer listening to prayerfully consider helping your church to become just that, a house of refuge. We hope that you'll consider doing that. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never given your life to Christ, you've never invited Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, today is a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make this eternally important decision in your life, would you simply, from your heart, pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've ever done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to pray every day. Help me to obey you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you gave your life to Christ and prayed that prayer, we want to be in touch with you. I want to remind you once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We definitely would like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and put down deep roots. We hope that you will get in touch. Please do. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. And if you'd like copies of any of the articles that we shared, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get those to you again. Again, the article's entitled The Bible, Life, and Abortion, and Is Your Church a House of Refuge? And then the article, Sex Trafficking and the Abortion Industry, Evil Twins. Brother Charlie, thank you so much for being with us. Would you share that website one more time if someone wants to get a Ten Commandments yard sign?
Yes, it's 10laws.us.
All right, thanks. 10laws.us. Thanks, Brother Charlie. Be blessed.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.